This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
And then I want to thank Jimmy and Ridge for running the live stream and running the sound in the morning. You know, we've got a group of guys and ladies at our church that do the exact same thing. What we often don't look at is you will never know, how many people are blessed by that kind of ministry. I meet people every single week of my life. I'm telling you, I don't know where they come from. And they say stuff like this: "We love watching your live stream. I watch y'all's Sunday school every single Sunday afternoon. I watch the Sunday school lesson every Sunday afternoon." And I'm going to tell you what it's done. What live, I got two things on my heart before I preach. And I may get to the one during the message, but I might not. And I might not even get to the message. I don't even know.
God bless you,
but what live stream has allowed us to do is it's allowed every preacher to be their own man and still let your church be fed in a complete way. For instance, I'm not good at it. I am not good at taking a book, starting at the beginning of a book and going through the end of a book. Right. Honey, I have started 14 books of the Bible and have not made it through the first chapter on not narrow one of them. And you know, the devil will tell me, "You're just a terrible pastor. You're just an awful pastor. You're not feeding the flock." But here's what blesses me. My people can get online and watch preachers throughout the week that go from Genesis all the way to Revelation and get a diet. They'll come and they'll say, "Preacher, I hope I don't offend you." And I say, "No, tell me who it is. I want to see what they're saying. I want to know what they got to say." It allows God's people to have a complete diet. Not everybody can be like me. I understand that. I don't want everybody. My heavens. If you know another one like me, run, son. But it allows God's people to have a complete diet. The second thing kindly goes off of what Brother Daniel said a while ago. If you don't think that there is not an attack by the liberal, lugnut, left-wing, progressive, and they're not just Democrats. Hear me now. They're not just Democrats. Some of the Republicans are as sorry as a sack of sin. I don't know what else to tell you. But here is what God put in my heart. And some of you can, if you'll think about it before you get mad, you'll agree with what I'm saying. They attacked about it in the mid-1990s. Bill Clinton attacked the tobacco industry and put such wages and tariffs and taxes on cigarettes. And it took cigarettes from roughly about 89 to 90 cents to a dollar a pack to now almost $5 a pack. But you'll find why they said they did that is because of the damage it does to the society and to health in America. Now, if they had that same concern and care, number one, they would have gone after the alcohol industry in the Midwest. You know why? Look, does tobacco give you lung cancer? Sure it does. But I ain't never seen a man whip his youngin' too hard because he had too many cigarettes. But I have seen a bunch of men tear their ever-loving youngin's tail up and put them in the hospital because they had one too many beers. But they didn't do that. And if they cared about the health of society, they wouldn't be talking about legalizing marijuana. Why would they attack tobacco? That's simple. Because alcohol money has never built a church. Alcohol money has never put churches and missionaries on the foreign field. But I'm going to tell you something. Church Street Baptist Church is alive today because of little tobacco workers and tobacco pickers that would give their money and build churches. Right now in North Carolina, in Guilford County, the Church Street Baptist Church is standing because of one church in Eden, North Carolina. That church is the New Heights Baptist Church on Highway 14. Harold Venable pastored there for over 30 35 years. And back in 1967, when Preacher Kanoi went to Church Street Baptist Church, they sold bonds, church bonds. They sold about a quarter of the church bonds to build the church. And they could, the people in Greensboro, we weren't made by tobacco money. We were made off the cotton mills and off of cone industries. We were made out of textiles. But in the 1960s and 70s, when the cotton mills were shut down and being shipped off to Mexico and to China, tobacco money was being picked up. We ran out of money in Greensboro and Guilford County. But here's what happened. Preacher Kanoi called Pastor Jim French, up at the New Heights Baptist Church. That church was run and built by the American Tobacco Company and the people that worked in there. And Preacher Kanoi said, do you think any of the people will buy the bonds that we have? Jim French said, how many bonds do you have? He said, we have roughly 75% of our bonds. He said, bring them up here Sunday and I'll have them sold by Sunday night. And the American Tobacco Company workers that were members of the New Heights Baptist Church were the ones that bought every bond that built the Church Street Baptist Church that I'm sitting in right now. And the reason that the devil and the progressive left shut down tobacco money is it's because tobacco workers and tobacco farmers and tobacco pickers and people that worked in that industry that built the southern United States. What else goes along with the southern United States? We call it the Bible Belt. And when the Bible Belt shuts down in the United States, what happens when you lose your belt? Your britches fall off. And that's what's happening in America right now. I don't know what else to tell you. And we sit there with like a bunch of bumps on pickles like it ain't going to happen to us. Not only is it not going to not happen to us, but it's happening right now. And we're busy worrying about what color the belt buckle is. And the devil's done took our belt, our britches, our shirt, our wallet, our pyre, and our peace. And we're still wondering why we're not wearing the right color belt buckle. We're out of our ever-loving minds, which kind of feeds into what I'm going to show you here in the book of Numbers, chapter 17. You say, I don't like that. Well, Brother Daniel taught me all that, so you take it up with him after the service. God gave me a word this afternoon. I'm not sure if this will help anybody, but it helped me. The book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse number 8. The Bible says, Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded.
Amen.
And brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. I want you to notice there in Numbers chapter 17, verse number 8, it says that when the sun came up, there was one rod out of 12 rods that was budding. But notice what it says about that rod. It didn't just bud. It did three things. The Bible says it brought forth buds, it bloomed blossoms, and it yielded almonds. When you come to Numbers chapter 17, brothers and sisters, what you find is that Israel has arrived at a place where they're supposed to be moving forward. But while their bodies had exited Egypt, Egypt had not exited their heart. And when they were supposed to be moving forward, the devil did what the devil always tries to do. Whenever progress is supposed to be going forward, the devil puts up the detour and says, don't go any further. There's some problems that need to be dealt with. And up rises a man whose name is Korah. What a lot of people don't talk about is this. Korah was the cousin of Moses. He was the cousin of Aaron. He was a distant relative of Moses and Aaron and Miriam and the people of that house. And Korah stands up and this is what he says. He says, Aaron, you and the Levites ought not be the only ones that are serving in the tabernacle of God. You see, the sons of Kohath were just like the sons of Merari. They were allowed to be on the outside and see what it looked like, but they could not go to the inside. And this is what they were saying. They were saying, everybody ought to be allowed to serve in the priesthood. It ought not be for just a select group of people. You see, Nicola was the first ecumenical religionist that ever was. Here's what he said. He said, you don't have to be selected by God to go into the presence of God. Anybody ought to be able to do it. Anybody ought to be able to go. He challenged not only the leadership of Moses, but he challenged the plan of God. And this is what God tells Moses. He says, Moses, I'm just about sick and tired of that boy. You tell him to meet me down at the little tabernacle, because the Bible says that Korah had set up his own little makeshift tabernacle called the Tabernacle of Korah. And he says, you go down to the church of Korah and I'll meet you when you get down there. And this is what happens. Yeah. They get down at the church of Korah and they start their little music, and about the time they start the worship hour down at the church of Korah, God says, Moses, I want you to back up, Jack, because I'm getting ready to do something that they're never going to forget and you're never going to forget. And the Bible says that the earth opens up and it splits asunder, and hell itself enlarged itself and sucked up all those people that thought that the priesthood of God wasn't made for a certain group of people. And honey, it sucked Korah and Korah's band of crazies, put them down, stupid crazy people, say amen right there, put them down in the pit of hell. Now here's what God always does when he's going to establish his plan. Number one, he judges the rebellious, and number two, he gives approval to the righteous. When God wants to show you who he's going to use, he's going to judge those people that are rebelling against him, and he's going to approve those people that are on his side. So the judgment comes when the belly of the earth opens up, and the sign of approval comes when he says, now Moses, I want you to take one rod from every tribe of the people of God. And he said, I want you to take them into the tabernacle. Here's what he says. Take a rod. Take that thing which has been cut down. Take that thing which has died, and take it into a dark place. And when the sun comes up, the rod that is blooming and the rod that is budding and the rod that is yielding fruit, that's going to be the group of people that I say I put my stamp of approval on. And the sun came up that next morning, and they went inside, and there wasn't any blossoms on the staff of Reuben, and there weren't any blossoms on the rod of the Manassites, but on the rod of Levi. It was blooming, but it wasn't just blooming, it was budding. And it wasn't just budding, it had almonds on it. You see, it was in every place and stage of fruit. It had the beginning, and it had the middle, and it had the end. You see, that's a twofold type. Number one, that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. How's that a type of Jesus Christ? Well, number one, because it came from a tree that had been cut down and died. But when it was put in a dark place, when the sun came up, that thing began to blossom and that thing began to bloom. Here's what happened to Jesus. He got cut down on Calvary, wrapped up in the grave clothes of Joseph of Arimathea, put in the dark place, and when the sun came up on that glorious resurrection morning, honey, he walked out and he was blossoming. You see, he's also there in the blooms. You see what a bud is? It's a picture of his incarnation. And the blossoms are a picture of his death and his resurrection. And the almonds are a picture of his life in you and I, the fruit that he bears. Honey, he is that budding rod inside of the tabernacle of God. But it's also a second type. It is a type of the child of the Most High God. You say, how do you know? Well, think about it. Number one, that rod, before it was cut down, it had its own life. It had its own fruit. It had its own vegetation. But it gets cut down. And when it gets cut down, it gets picked up by none other than the high priest. It wasn't just anybody's rod. It was the high priest's rod. It didn't belong to just old any Jack in the can. It belonged to none other than the one that would go and take the blood and side of the Holy of Holies. You say, what are you, preacher? I'm just an old dead stick that got cut down in my natural habitat, but I got picked up not just by anybody, not just by a preacher, but the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, came my way, picked me up, put me in his hand, and had a plan for my life. But then I was looking and I was thinking about that typology of being a witness. Now watch this. The rod that budded was what God was using to say, this is my plan. It was God's mechanism for showing what God's plan was. Can I tell you what the church of Jesus Christ is? We are the authority of God. We're the pillar and the ground of truth. God's not going to do anything in this world that He does not do through the church of Jesus Christ. He's not sending revival outside of the church of Jesus Christ. He's not sending an awakening outside of the church of Jesus Christ. He's not sending a movement outside of the church of Jesus Christ. But here is what I'm so afraid of. And I got to talking about this with Brother Rick this morning. I got something inside of me, Brother Daniel. I just can't seem to verbalize. I just can't seem to get out. I just can't seem to get it out this week. And I can't explain it. But this morning I was reading in Numbers 17 and I came across it. And I felt like the Holy Ghost put this prayer in my heart. And this is what I was praying. I said, oh God, let the rod bloom again. Let that rod bloom again. I thought about the church of Jesus Christ. This rod right here that at one time probably has bloomed. This rod right here, at one time it did bear fruit. At one time it really was doing something. Maybe that's describing you. But right now, you can't explain why, but you feel like that cold, dead stick inside of that dark place. Here's what I want to pray. I'm praying, God, let the rod bloom again. Let your heart bloom again. Let the flyer come out and bloom again. Let the church rise up and bloom again. Let the authority of God come out and bloom again. Let the preachers arise and bloom again. Let your family rise and bloom again. You see, here's what we need. We need an authoritative church. We need a miraculous church. Man, when they pulled that rod out of that thing, there was nobody in that camp that could say that did not happen by the sovereign, supernatural, saving hand of God Almighty. I'm not looking for a meeting. I'm not looking for something old Tyler Curtis can put together. Honey, I'm looking for something that blooms overnight. I'm looking for something that's so supernatural that people will have to look at it and say, that was only done by the Almighty, omnipotent, ever supreme, almighty hand of a thrice holy God. God the Father had His hand on it. God the Son had His hand on it. God the Holy Ghost had His hand on it. It went by the blood. It went by the word. It went by the throne. We need the bloom. Honey, we need the rod to bloom again. We need the church to bloom again. We need the people to bloom again. Oh, God, I feel it in my soul. We need it to bloom. We need the church to bloom. We need the preachers to bloom. We need the people to bloom. Oh, God, bloom again. But I was looking at that thing. Remember what I say? I tell my church this all the time. Don't you ever forget it. You remember two things about what I say. Number one, you can trust every word in your Bible. Right. Number one, yeah. Every word, you can believe it. Amen. If it says I, believe it. Right. Yeah. If it says it, believe it. Amen. Number two, the other thing about your Bible, God doesn't waste words. Right. Therefore, everything in that book is put there for a reason. Amen. The God that created vocabulary is not in the business of wasting vocabulary. Right. So notice what it says. If God wanted us to just pay attention to the rod, He'd have just said the rod bloomed, but He didn't say that. Right. He said the rod brought forth buds. Yeah. It blossomed blossoms. And it yielded almonds. So the three things that popped up on that dead rod is exactly what we need to see. If we see the authority of God back in the church, we'll see these three things. I want to just look at them. I don't have just a second. I want to give these to you and I'll let God do with them what He wants to. Number one, what are they a picture of? Number one, look at what it says in verse number 8. It says that the rod that came forth that day, look at what it says, it brought forth buds. What is that a picture of? How will we know when God is letting the rod of the church bloom again? Well, think about what a bud is. A bud is that thing that springs forth out of nothing. It is that thing that springs forth out of death, out of depravity. You see, that's a picture of a sinner that becomes a saint. That's a picture of somebody that gets saved. Beloved, I wish that I could tell you that a real revival happens when people only get happy. That's not what the old time word revival means. There's two things that go along with that. Number one, saints get happy, and number two, sinners get unhappy. Saints get happy and sinners get unhappy. Saints get out from under the conviction of God, and sinners get under the conviction of God. Here's what that means. He said, now I want you to look at the very first thing on Aaron's rod. He says, now look at it. Do you see the buds? I believe right then they said, yes, I do. I see the buds. I believe somebody said, how'd that bud get inside that dead, dried up piece of wood? Yeah. I believe Moses said it was put there by the supernatural impregnation of a sovereign God. You say, how does a dead piece of wood bring forth life? That can only be one explanation, that a God that made that branch put that seed inside of that stick, and that seed that got put inside that stick was given enough time to percolate and enough time to fertilize and enough time to grow. And I got to thinking about this, my soul, I got to thinking about this. You do realize that the only way that plants grow is by a process called photosynthesis. You know what that requires? Light.
Amen.
Where did they put that stick? Inside the tabernacle. There's one thing you'll find about the tabernacle. Above all things, there was zero way for sunlight to get in there. It's almost as if a light got inside of that place. You say, what brought forth? Now, here's the thing. I've seen a bunch of dead sticks in my life, but I've only ever seen fungus grow on a dead stick. So it's got to be something that's bigger and brighter than the sunshine here in Lenore or down in Guilford County. What could have brought in? What kind of light could have brought in the kind of light needed to bring forth a bud out of a dead stick? Well, could it be the kind of light that was in the middle of nothing and had nothing to shine, and one day the light, the true light, the burning light, the bright light, the absolute light, one day reached out into nothing and grabbed a little helium, and reached out into nothing and grabbed a little neon, and reached out into nothing and grabbed a little carbon dioxide, reached out into nothing, put them all together and formed the sun? Could it be that that God that made the sun got inside of there and said, honey, I'm not going to show you the sun, I'm going to show you the sun. I'm not going to show you the light. I want to show you the light. Here's what you'll find. You'll find that the Jews say, we talked about this, according to Jewish legend and Jewish tradition and Jewish history, this is what they say. They say that in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, every tree died, every flower died, every blade of grass died. The moment that sin entered into the earth, everything that was green and full of life, it lay over and died. But they say that evening when God Almighty stepped out of heaven and came to walk with man in the cool of the day, they say that the very second that God the Son stepped into the garden, every dead tree rose up, every dead blade of grass got up, every dead fly rose back up. Here's what I'm telling you, it's the same God that can do that. It's the same God that'll bring a bud out of a dead branch, that'll take a sinner out of hell, shake hell out of him, put Jesus in him, dip him down in red blood, and bring him up forgiven. And tonight, I'm telling you, it's not worked up. It's not us knocking on doors. It's not us running live stream. It's an almighty, holy, sovereign act of a supernatural God that'll bring a sinner out of where he is and put him here. Here's what I'm telling you. telling you, I can't explain isms and I can't explain schisms. I don't even know how to change the oil in my car. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the oil of the Holy Ghost, but here's what I do know. When I was a 16-year-old boy at three rows from the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, I was there that day, just a church pew sitter, and I sat there that day, and the supernatural God of heaven had went into that tabernacle and brought a blood out of a dead stick. He came into my pew. He said, "You are not right with me. Listen to what that preacher says." And it was the Almighty. I didn't know anything about Calvinism, Arminianism. I didn't know anything about anything, but here's what I knew. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. And he said, "I will save you if you'll come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." It's a supernatural, almighty outpouring. You say, how will we know when the church is budding and blooming again? When sinners can't stand to sit in the pew, and when sinners can't stand to talk about church, and they can't stand to come to church, but yet they can't stand to stay away from church. They can't stand to sit in the pew, but when they stand up, they want to sit back down. And when you sing God Loves the Little Children, they want you to sing. They want you to sing Glory to His Name. And when you sing Glory to His Name, they want you to sing Jesus Loves Me. We call that old-fashioned dose of the can't help it. When you get to that place and you can't have anything that'll help you, but everything else hurts you, that's when you know that an almighty God is calling you to salvation. Oh, God, let the church bloom again. It budded. Number two. Now watch what it says in verse number 8. It says it bloomed blossoms. It bloomed blossoms. That word bloomed, I looked it up. That word bloomed, it means to glisten. And I got to thinking, Holy Spirit, what is that blossom a picture of? And He said, well, think about what a blossom does. And I got to thinking, a blossom is that which has grown, but it's closed up. And when the sun hits it just right, it opens its hands to heaven. And it just waves them in the wind. That which was closed up, it gets the right amount of sunshine. And it just opens up. And it doesn't matter how hard the wind blows, it won't close back up. You know what it does? It just shines in that direction. Then it shines in that direction. It doesn't matter which way the wind blows. It just shines. You see that blooming blossom? That's a picture of a praising child of the Most High God. Here's what I'm telling you. You'll know when the blossom and the bloom is coming back in the rod, because of saints of God that are closed up and hemmed up and mad and all bowed up like a blowfish is moved into your mouth. You'll sit there and all of a sudden something will get to moving on the inside. It's like the sunshine gets to moving on the inside of your spirit. It's as if you want to stay closed and you want to stay mad and you want to be mad at that preacher because he's preaching too loud and he talks too fast and he spits on the first five rows, but there's something inside of you that just wants you to open up. That which you used to be closed about, it wants you to open up. And before you know it, honey, it's as if the Spirit of God says, open up or close down forever. Man, I remember where I was, Smoky Mountain Gospel Jubilee Country Tonight Theater, about 13 rows from the front. I sat there, 19 years old. I didn't know whether I was a coming. I didn't know whether I was a going. I don't have any preachers in my family. My daddy's a firefighter. My mama's a secretary. And my grandma cusses. Say amen right there. I don't have preachers anywhere in my family. I don't have shouters in my family. I don't have singers in my family. I don't have praisers in my family. But I sat there 13 rows from the back, and Brother Ralph Sexton stood up and he got to preaching on the tsunami of sin, and he got to talking about those rescuers that went and rescued those people. And he said, don't you remember when God Almighty came to where you were? And I sat there, and man, they shouted on that side, they shouted on that side, they shouted back there, they shouted back there. And I just stood there like a little closed up blossom, but before I knew it, I couldn't help it. It was like the sunlight of heaven was shining down on my soul, and I felt myself open up just a little bit, and I couldn't help it. I took my little hand. I'm 19 years old. I'm thinking about one thing. That's girls and Jesus, but I ain't thinking about but the one thing now, and that's Jesus. Say amen right there. Don't take that and put that on Twitter. I don't know where that came from. I've been hanging around Brother Daniel Buchanan too long. It just comes up and out before I know it. Man, before I'd be sitting there, I'll tell you who I was sitting beside. I was sitting beside Penny Andrews with the Gethsemane Quartet. And son, that precious little woman, she was over there raising her hand. She's about 93 years old right now. She weighs about 102 pounds. She looks as young today as she did probably when she was 30 years old. And I saw her take that little withered hand and she waved it like that. And I thought, I can do that. And I opened up just a little bit and I said, oh Lord, Holy Ghost said, no, that ain't opening up for you, son. And I said, all right, what am I going to do? I saw somebody over there take both hands and lift them up like that. I took both of my hands and I said, all right, I can do that. And here's what the Holy Ghost said. He said, shout now, son, or I'm not coming back. Before I knew it, I stood up. I was a shout like a Comanche Indian. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. But here's what I did know. I knew there was something that was blossoming on the inside of my heart. And all I knew how to do was raise my hands and shout in the wind and glorify God. I'm looking at some of you right now and you used to have shout. You used to have praise. You used to have glory. You used to be one that came out of that dark place and you had the blossoms on your soul and you had the blooms in your life. And I'm looking at you right now and you're sitting there closed up and you can't figure out why. You can't figure out what's it going to take to open you up. I got to think about today, Brother Daniel. You know, there's three things that'll take a blossom that was open and close it back up and wither it. Three things. Number one, cold weather.
Yeah.
You take a plant that's been in warm weather.
Right.
And have it open up and put it back in cold weather, you know what it'll do? It'll close back up and shrivel and die. Beloved, I'm telling you right now, Christianity is not hard. You ready? Here's Christianity. He came down here so you could go up there. That's number one. You bow here and you'll bow there. You don't bow here and you'll forever wish when you're bowing down there. Right. That's number two. Right. You ready? Love Him with everything right here because He loved you with everything right there.
Right.
Number three, number four, whatever number I'm on, here's number four. Love everybody out there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, come on.
That's Christianity.
Come on.
Can I tell you something? Any doctrine, whether left or right, that causes you not to appreciate any one of those four or five things is not from God Almighty. You know what that is? Man, we've gotten in this thing where we think because we're not educated or we think that guy's got doctor or MD or UD or OD or UT, I don't have a clue what he's got, but we think because he's got that, that he's full of the Holy Spirit of God. You do realize old Peter was a cussing fisherman and God pulled out of a little country town and baptized him down in the power of the Spirit of God and he stood up and he preached a message and won thousands to the call of God. You do realize that Paul was an educated man, sat for years at the feet of Gamaliel. It was not about education. You can be educated or you can be as foolish as a little man on the side of the road. But if you don't love God with all you are, it's not about knowing this. It's not about knowing that. It's about knowing that a God in heaven has saved your soul and died for you. I got to thinking about this, Brother Daniel. I said, what is it about that? Why an almond blossom? Two things about an almond blossom that are different than any other plant. Number one, it's the amount of flowers that are on a petal or on a stem. You know how many flowers grow on every single almond blossom? Five. Every almond blossom that popped out of that branch had five flowers. Five in the Bible is a number of the grace of an almighty God. Can I tell you what that flower was doing? It was praising and testifying to the fact everything it was by the grace of an almighty God. Can I tell you right now, you ought not even be saved, and we have reason to praise God. You do realize in hell forever, they'll worship and praise God. He just will not receive it. Do you know why they'll praise Him? Because of the grace that He gave them for all the years they were on this earth. You know that a saved man has even more reason to praise God, but before that we get into the hallelujah part, you do realize the fact you've got feet to walk on and shoes on those feet, that's by the grace of God. The car you drove in, by the grace of God. The clothes on your back, by the grace of God. The food in your belly, by the grace of God. The more I'm talking, the more I want to lift my little branches up to heaven and just say, God, bloom in my soul again. Oh, God, bloom in my soul again. again. I got a little boy, wild as a buck, quiet as a church mouse, but God has been good to me. I got a little girl whose middle name is Diva and talks from sunup to sundown. You know what that makes me? That makes me mighty grateful to the almighty grace of God. I've got a wife that loves me. I got a church that loves me. I got a people that love me. I'm sitting here where you find people tonight. You know what I just want to do? I want to cut me a spell, clear me off a spot, raise my branches to heaven and say, oh God, bloom in my heart again. You say, don't you have problems? Honey, do I have problems? Lord God, look at me. I am my biggest problem. But at the end of the day, no matter how many problems I've got, everything in my life is a testimony to the grace of an almighty God. You say, preacher, you don't know the struggle and the problem I'm dealing with. No, I don't. But I got another reason to praise God. You say, what is it? Because the struggle and the problem you've got had not taken you down, and it has not broken your branches, and there's still reason to lift your hands and to worship and praise God. We've gotten too cold. We've gotten too callous. We've gotten too messed up, and the devil's made us think we've got nothing to praise God for. Can I give you another one? Before you women started feeding me, I didn't have it right there. Be pulling that up over.
Oh, thank you, God.
Do you know what color the almond leaves are? At the root, they're red. And they go out to become white. You see, red in the Bible is a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And white in the Bible is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Everywhere those branches waved, everywhere that rod went, they blew in the wind, William. And you know what they were saying? They were saying in my heart, no matter what I started out as, I may have started out yellow inside that stem. I may have started out black inside that stem. I may have started out purple inside that stem, but something happened. I had to go through the red. I went through the blood, and now I'm white. Everywhere they testified, they were not what they used to be, but they were righteous. Can I tell you what's happened to the people of God? I heard a preacher say the other day, and it made me so mad. He said, I want to be a part of a deep church. I said, me too. He said, I want to be a part of a church that know what they believe. I said, me too. He said, I want to be a part of a people that are excited about truth. I said, me too. I said, can I tell you a deep truth that I know? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Brothers and sisters, there is not a better truth in all of the Bible that a holy God came down to an unholy man so that an unholy man could go back to a holy God. Everywhere I go, I don't have another reason. If we sing glory to His name, I need to wave my palm branches and say, blessed be the name of God Almighty. If I sing Come Thou Fount, I'll raise my palm branches and say, blessed be the name of the good God of eternity. If we sing Amazing Grace, we ought to say, praise be the holy God of eternity. Honey, if we come in here and sing Cackalacka, thank you, Jesus, you ought to lift up your hands and say, I didn't write that song, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what we praise God for. It doesn't matter what happens, what they say, what they do. We all have reason to praise God. But you have allowed some cold, dead preaching or person around you to close you back up. And you know, temperamental people are the worst. Who they're around is what they become. How do I know? Because whether or not you can tell it, I'm fairly emotional. And I have to keep my temperament in check. That no matter where I go, what I see, or how I feel, I've been blessed. Amen. Cold weather will close that blossom up. You know what else will close that blossom up? Dry environments. It doesn't matter how warm it is outside. If it gets hot and that flower ain't had no water, honey, she's going to close up and die. Some of you right now, have looked at me and thought, you know, I can't remember last time I picked that Bible up.
Come on,
can I tell you something? That flower can be in the hottest environment. But if you give it enough water, it can survive any environment you put it in. I don't care if you read your Bible. I don't care if you listen to your Bible. I don't care if you have a sign language interpreter do it to you. However you do it, you get water inside of your system. You say, but preacher, but I'm too sick. You know, in the hospital, the very first thing they'll give you when you go to the hospital, they'll stick a line in you and they'll put a saline IV in your arm. You know why? You can't function without water, and you can't function without this Bible. Don't look at me and say, preacher, I'm cold. Don't look at me and say, I can't figure out why I'm not blossoming. Child of God, young, old, middle, you will not blossom in this hot world without the Word of God in your life. It's not possible. You know, there's a third thing that'll kill a blossom. Close it back up. And it doesn't matter how much sunlight, it doesn't matter how warm or how much water, the third thing that'll kill it is fungus. A fungus will kill a plant. You say, how do I know? Because I love flowers and yards and grass. I love that stuff. But it doesn't matter how much water. It doesn't matter how warm or cold. If a plant gets a fungus on it, it's dead.
Right.
I was talking to old Heath today. Man, he finally answered my phone call. You know what I had to tell him? I called him. He wouldn't answer. I called him. He wouldn't answer. I called him. He wouldn't answer. I texted him. I said, our church has decided to pull your monthly support. Honey, 30 seconds later, he called me. You think I'm lying? That's exactly what I told him. And I said, brother, I don't really know how to drive this point home. He said, well, you know what you're going to find about people? He said, it doesn't matter how spiritual they are or were. Every one of us are susceptible to letting sin get in our heart and close up our branches. What happened to your praise? You'll know when God's blossoming in a church again, when the people of God get happy about it. You can read about any revival throughout any time in history, and you know what you'll find? God's people get happy. Not everybody raises their hands. Not everybody shouts, but they'll do something. They may cry. They may rock. They may wave. They may shout. They may run, but they'll do whatever they do because something has blossomed and is building inside of their heart. And I've been praying all day, oh God, let it blossom in the church. Oh God, let the rod bloom again. Quickly, I got to go to number three. Notice what it says. Now I want you to watch this. It brought forth buds. It blossoms. But watch what it did to the almonds. Look at what it says. It yielded.
Yeah.
Almonds. It yielded. You know why? Here's why. Because that flower had gone through a lot of work to produce that fruit. But if that almond was ever going to be used for anything good, you know what that fruit, that plant had to do? It had to submit it to somebody that could use it and make something more of it. Can I tell you what I have to do every day of my life when I preach? I have to yield any fruit. Can I tell you what old flesh Tyler likes? Like Brother Jason preached this morning. Can I tell you what old flesh Tyler likes? Old flesh Tyler likes it when they say, that's a good message. Old flesh Tyler likes it when they say, man, that really, really blessed me. Can I tell you what old spirit Tyler says, if you want that to go any further, you got to yield that.
Yeah.
Now, how do you yield it? Are you ready? Do you know what the word almond means? The word almond in the Hebrew comes from a root word which means this, the awakened one.
Amen.
The watching one. Now, that's a picture of the resurrection. The reason that almond plants were used in the temple and tabernacle is because almonds are a picture of the resurrection of Christ. You see, almond trees are the first things to bud in the Holy Land in the spring. And when you see an almond tree bud, here's what it's telling you. I'm alive, and more stuff is getting ready to be alive. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ did. Jesus got out of the grave. He became the first fruits of them that slept. And when Jesus got out of the grave, it was Him saying, it's fitting to be a whole lot more. Or what just happened to me. But think about something. an almond tree, the watching one. In the Bible, that Hebrew word's used in another place. It's called a watchman on the wall. Can I tell you how you'll really know, Brother Daniel, that the blossoms are blooming on the rod of the church again? The watchman in the church will get back under that prayer wall.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The people that have been floating will leave the banqueting table. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, God, I'm sorry.
It's good.
I've fallen down on the job. God, I've been sitting inside watching so-and-so and so-and-so do their part, but...
That's good. Come on.
You see, there were three stages on there, and it'll take the three different plants for that bloom to come again on that rod. It'll take sinners getting saved. But you know what you'll find? On the rod of Aaron, Jewish scholars say they didn't bloom all the way throughout. The almonds were at the top. And they flowed down upon the flowers, and those flowers and those almonds protected the little buds.
Mm. Amen.
Right.
You won't see sinners saved until the praise starts happening.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And the praise ain't coming.
That's good.
Until you get back on the wall.
That's good. Amen.
People say, I'll just shout. You'll shout in vain. God won't hear it.
Right.
But until you get back on the wall.
Amen.
You know, this may be the most spiritual church, and I believe it probably is. You're just as susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. You're just as susceptible to getting mad, to getting angry, to feeling like you've learned and become enlightened. That is where the devil loves to attack. That's my question tonight. My prayer's been all day. I hadn't been able to pray. It's all I've been praying all day. God, let the rod of my heart bloom again.
Yes.
God, let my ministry, my preaching, my church, everything I am, let it bloom again.
Amen. Amen. Me too.
Lauren, sister, come help me. God's using you, youngin.
Amen.
One of the best invitation singers I have seen at your... the best at your age I've ever seen in my life.
Amen. Right.
Beloved, listen to me. I wish I could express to you what was in my soul. There's some churches I go preach at, most churches I go preach at, and I beg God to let the end of the week come. You preachers, you know what I'm talking about. God, please let me get through it. And all I've been able to say this week is, God,
amen,
just let the rod bloom again.
Yeah.
What about you? Is your rod laying in that dark place, cold, fruitless, flowerless? You've let some ism or schism come in your soul and into your life, and you've become enlightened. Some things come into your family, and it's a fungus that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, come on.
It's a fungus in the relationship. It's a fungus, and it's going to kill the flower. It's going to close the bud back up. Just to be honest, maybe you got a little lazy. No way to put it. You prayed some good prayers back there, and I guess that'll take me to the next time. You know, it so bothers me. And God will explain it one day. It keeps us from getting lazy. Prayer is the only thing in my soul that is eternal up there, but expires the moment it comes out here. You know why? I can't live off of yesterday's. You can't lay the bread loaf of my prayers in the closet and hope that they'll work for me tomorrow. I got to keep baking fresh bread.
Amen.
What's God telling you? Let's stand together tonight. Come find your place. And you say, oh God, let the rod bloom again.
Amen.